Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Good, doesn't it, Governor?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, welcome to Florida. I know you probably wouldn't have been able to even do this in a lockdown state. I'm just glad I could attend CPAC, because if you did do it in a lockdown state, I have a policy. I only travel to free states. So I don't have any problem being in Florida.
Governor DeSantis helping to open up the CPAC on Friday, and obviously taking a bit of a jab about the fact that we're an open state and other states are lockdown states. I really try to wrap my mind around the fact that there are some people that have been locked down for a year or locked down for 8 months or locked down off and on or haven't had their kids in school for all this time, and thinking like there's these two Americas, you know, there are these people out there. I feel sorry for them. And I bet what I wonder is, because like we don't think much about the lockdown because we're not experiencing that. And I wonder if they don't even realize. I mean, I know that may seem weird to think of, but I wonder if they just aren't aware that there are free states. That there are states that have not done lockdowns and have been open and don't have statewide mask mandates. I'm for wearing masks, just to be clear. But, you know, that have their schools open. Because I think the way that if all I knew about Florida was what I saw on national news, you would think everybody here is dead already. And our governor's an imbecile. That's what you would think. And you know, that's obviously not the case, but that's what you would think. So I just wonder about that.
You know, Governor, some of your colleagues get Emmys for acting.
It's Cuomo.
We're happy to be in a state that has a governor who deserves the People's Choice Award.
Yeah, thanks.
So it was kind of an interesting speech that DeSantis gave on Friday.
Florida is leading in protecting our vulnerable residents, saving the economy, and safeguarding the freedom of our people. In Florida, schools are open. Every Floridian has a right to earn a living, and all businesses have a right to operate.
And how we've basically done it differently than lockdown states and haven't had much worse, if worse at all, numbers, but have managed to keep our kids getting educated to save our economy.
Florida has lower per capita COVID mortality than the national average and lower than 27 other states. Our unemployment rate is lower than the national average, even though tourism isn't fully back. And our budget is in great shape. We have not touched one red cent from our rainy day fund throughout this whole time. Florida got it right, and the lockdown states got it wrong.
And it's fascinating to me to watch a lot of the national news media defend their defending of the lockdowns. You know, watching the way Margaret Brennan treated Governor Kristi Noem was ridiculous. You know, a free state. And she just couldn't help but attack her over and over and over again for her criticism of Fauci on Saturday. And then just the idea, how dare you challenge the advice that you're supposed to have these lockdowns? I mean, well, look at the numbers. Look at the results. You know, it's just we have what we have. You can't really make it up. Meanwhile, one of the other themes, and this was definitely a big theme of CPAC all weekend long, was the theme of cancel culture, political intoleration, what you might call political correctness, the intolerance of the left these days.
On Wednesday, the state of Florida had the flags flown at half staff in honor of Rush, in honor of his legacy. Rush displayed the courage of his convictions time and time again. Rush was one of the first to fight and win against cancel culture. Rush showed that fighting the left requires strength and that conservatism devoid of backbone is doomed to fail.
Right on. 100%. And he notices that, and it's right, that these days it will cost you, or it might well cost you if you stand up. Now, here again, here locally, you know, it might cost you the other way. But generally speaking, across the nation, people are scared to speak up at their jobs. You know, I can't tell you how many jobs I lost teaching college. I lost jobs for being a conservative, 100%. No, I mean, there's zero question about it. But I was open in my classrooms. This is what I believe. I will allow you to disagree with me. No problem. I encourage you to disagree with me. I mean, you know my take on this stuff. But I don't want to hide my biases from you. But the bias in the classroom at the university level is heavily to the left. And I just wanted my students to know what I was going to stand for. And I also wanted them to know they were free to disagree with me, which is not the case all the time. But yeah, if you stand up, it may well have a cost for you.
So at this moment in our history, and I think Rush showed us this, but particularly now, standing for the right things comes at a cost. You will be attacked, you will be smeared, and you may even be canceled by the major organs of the political left. Now, anyone can spout conservative rhetoric. We can sit around and have academic debates about conservative policy. And I'm not saying you don't do any of that. But the question is, when the Clegg lights get hot, when the left comes after you, will you stay strong or will you fold?
I think that's Clegg lights, and at least I think that's how you pronounce it. That's the spotlight, searchlights, you know, that kind of go visually with the totalitarian regime's enforcement of whatever rules that it has. And he says, look, go home, fight, don't back down. It's very simple.
But when you do and you engage in the battles ahead, hold the line. Stand your ground and don't ever, ever back down. Thank you. God bless you.
Yeah, we really are, I believe, in a conflict for the soul of this nation. And it's not the conflict for being a conservative. It's the conflict for having the freedom to disagree, having the freedom to dissent, to see it a different way, to say it a different way. That is one of the core issues, and the left is just wilting, which has historically been so in favor of dissent. You know, stand up for yourself, say what you believe, no matter what the crowd says, except when it's a belief in traditional values, a belief in traditional religion, a belief in conservative politics. In that case, we're not just going to tell you to shut up. We're going to deplatform you, and we're going to take away your right to do business and have a job. That is not the liberalism that my mom, who was a dyed-in-the-wool liberal, that's not the liberalism that she believed in. 6:16 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Yeah, and taking a look at the front gate of NAS Pensacola, we do have big delays over there. Backed up around Sunset Avenue, it appears, as you're trying to get onto the main gate. So be ready to expect extended delays. Now, I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. 9 Mile Road looks a little slow moving as you're going westbound in between Kimstrand and Highway 29, but Highway 90 through Pace and Milton checking in clear, and Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge flowing smoothly. That's also the case for Gulf Breeze Parkway and Navarre Parkway. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So, you know, we all drive cars, which means we all need to replace our cars because cars don't last forever. When you do, go to Frontier. That's my one suggestion. I include a couple different places. Go to 3 or 4 different places. It's okay. Just like anything that I advocate for, go ahead and include several options in your list. Just make sure you include Frontier in that list. And then ask them questions like, you know, how does it work if I want to buy a car? And, you know, what is that one sheet that you give me that gives all of the prices and the details and the taxes and the out the door so there's no negotiating on anything other than that final out the door price? And why do you do a Carfax for everybody, including people who don't come here to buy from you? I mean, just ask them questions. Sit in some cars. You can sit in a bunch of different cars. You don't even have to ask permission. You can just go and sit in some cars. It's fine. So I had a great experience at Frontier. I know so many people that had a great experience at Frontier, and I hope you will too. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community with great quality used cars and trucks for more than 25 years. Right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Coming to you from the beautiful Rainbow Room in New York City, where indoor dining and outdoor muggings are back.
Yes. And I am Amy Poehler here at the Beverly Hilton District 7 New Angeles. And this is the 78th annual Hunger Games.
Golden Globes.
You know, what was kind of funny, I mean, of course they're going to poke fun at the virtual event itself. And I think the funnier visual moment, I can't do it on the radio, but was where Tina Fey proves that it's not virtual. And then she reaches over across the split screen to kind of paw Amy Poehler on her face and hair. But of course, it's some other person with a meat hand. You know, it's just kind of, it's just funny looking.
Now, normally this room is full of celebrities, but tonight our audience on both coasts is made up of smoking hot first responders and essential workers. How gorgeous. We are so grateful for the work that you do and that you're here so that the celebrities can stay safely at home.
Yes, thank you so much.
That's pretty good. And, of course, they did not pass up the chance to jab at the Hollywood Foreign Press Association for not being diverse enough.
Okay, anyway, since you guys aren't usually here, let us explain what this even is. The Golden Globes are awards given out by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
The Hollywood Foreign Press Association is made up of around 90 international no black journalists who attend movie junkets each year in search of a better life. We say around 90 because a couple of them might be ghosts, and it's rumored that the German member is just a sausage that somebody drew a little face on.
Boy, the scathing criticism for the non-white HPFA.
The point is, HFPA. Even with stupid things, inclusivity is important, and there are no black members of the Hollywood Foreign Press. I realize, HFPA, maybe you guys didn't get the memo because your workplace is the back booth of a French McDonald's, but you got to change that. So here's to changing it.
Yes, and looking forward to that change.
Boy, nothing stings worse than the rebuke for not being inclusive coming from two white chicks. 622 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
America's top infectious diseases expert says the Johnson & Johnson vaccine provides strong protection against COVID-19. On NBC's Meet the Press, Dr. Anthony Fauci says the vaccine is very good in protecting Americans from the virus. Tiger Woods thanking PGA players for their tributes at the WGC Workday Championship on Sunday. Players wearing Tiger's signature red shirt, black hat, and black pants during the final round yesterday. Woods remains in the hospital with those serious injuries following that car crash in Southern California last week. We're getting a first look at Oprah's interview with Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. CBS aired a teaser of the sit-down yesterday, Harry talking about how difficult it must have been for his late mother, Princess Diana, to deal with public scrutiny.
I can't begin to imagine what it must have been like for her going through this process by herself all those years ago, because it has been unbelievably tough for the two of us, but at least we had each other.
It's the first major interview with the couple since they stepped away from their royal duties and moved to the U.S.
Is part of being royalty that there's always a soundtrack with you?
I believe so. It follows you wherever you go. It's a little symphony.
I figure it just emanates from you with those special royal genes and blood you've got.
That could be.
Just your body emanates music. You know, like the vampires in the Twilight series, that they shimmer in the light.
Yeah.
And the royals just have music coming from their bodies. Music. Yeah. I mean, naturally. How do you pick that music?
I don't know.
Now, does Meghan Markle get music?
Well, I'm sure she does. Oprah has her own music.
But then they rejected
sure.
their role as royals. So now they're,
So now the music should.
The rules here are so hard to figure out. I'm just glad we don't have royals. It's a preposterous premise. It really is a preposterous premise. That some people are so special that they have blood that makes them uniquely gifted to own leadership. It's nuts.
Well, that's why I'm in this room, and you're over there in that room.
Mark, thanks so much for the update. 624 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I mean, it really is. Just look, I understand, you know, in the Bible you have lineage is important. I'm not saying lineage doesn't matter. I'm saying that if you look at the premise that royals are special God-picked people and their offspring are the special bloodline of the special people. It's right? I mean, come on. Objectively speaking, this is a nutty doctrine that whole countries are based on. Anyway, we're Americans. It's okay. We can say stuff like that. Not only do we believe it's nutty, but, you know, that's kind of our right to believe in that. 625, I mean, you know, our system doesn't always pick the best leaders. I'm just saying it's at least a system that's not based on a crazy principle of human nature. 625 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
And taking a look at the front gate of NES Pensacola, just still very delayed, backed up around Winthrop Avenue now. So we're actually almost to the intersection of Barrancas and Gulf Beach Highway. So just be ready to pack our patience as we go to the main gate. The back gate is flowing. I should say the back gate is starting to show delays, but nowhere near as bad as the main gate. I-10, I-110 still checking and clear along with Gulf Breeze Parkway and Navarre Parkway. And as we're going in both directions of Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge, flowing smoothly. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So last year during a pandemic, when we had a down economy, when we had a bridge out, when we had a hurricane, when we had, I mean, pick it, right? What didn't happen last year? Christine Leavenworth and her team at Levin Ranky Realty sold 130 homes. Unprecedented, just crazy, especially given that she was just doing news just a few years ago and then left to kind of do this. And we all, you know, those of us who were friends kind of hoped it would work out, but didn't know for sure. Well, she normally says that if you and she come to an agreement about a price on a house, she can guarantee to sell it in 30 days or she won't take a seller's commission. I was talking to her recently and she said, Andrew, I mean, honestly, in this market, it's like 7 days. Like every home sells within 7 days. Because we know how to do it, we know how to photo it, we know how to stage it, we know how to list it, we know how to handle people when they call in and to make sure that we get the best price for it. Three homes at Marcus Point sold in a, you know, three offers on a home at Marcus Point, it sold in a day, over list price. Another home by the mall, 8 offers in a single day. She's like, that just happens all the time. Now, it doesn't happen all the time for every real estate agent, but it does happen all the time for Christine Leavenworth and her team at Levin Ranky Realty. So if you want to sell your home, in fact, I sometimes joke, I say, if you don't want to sell your home, don't call her. Because she'll sell your home. 723-9158, 723-9158. And hey, I have a couple of tickets to give away. A couple of tickets to see the Pensacola Opera's HMS Pinafore on March 10th. Performance is at the Sanger Theater. And you can go if you are caller number 347-1620. Tickets to Pensacola Opera's HMS Pinafore, March the 10th. Caller number 3, first person at 437-1620. Florida passed 3 million first-shot vaccinations. About 14% of the population has gotten their first shot. Escambia long-term care cases dropped dramatically also over the weekend as Olive Branch Rehab started finally reporting all their cases cleared. It had been weeks doing this. It went from 98 total long-term care residents and staff on Friday in all facilities to 41 now because those 50-some-odd dropped off of Olive Branch. Santa Rosa is still at 44, but I think that'll drop this week as I'm expecting both Beehive and Canopy to report their cases cleared. That'd be half of them, 27 combined. Current hospitalizations in the U.S. continue to plummet. It's down below 50,000 at 47,000 for the first time since November 2nd. And local current hospitalizations continue to decline, down 25 since Thursday, 97 then, 72. Now, and of course, the big news of the weekend was that the FDA has given its emergency use authorization to the Johnson & Johnson Janssen vaccine. That's a single-shot vaccine that can be stored in regular refrigeration, doesn't require the cold chain that the other ones do. And 4 million doses are shipping out either last night or sometime in the next day or two. And so I would expect, we'll see those numbers start to show up by the end of this week. 100 million by the end of June is what they're looking at. So that's extremely good news. It's very effective. I'll just tell you, my own personal answer on this is if you have a vaccine that I can take, I will take it. If it's the single shot, if it's the two-shot Pfizer, if it's the two-shot, I don't care. Just give me the one that I can get. I'll take it. I'd rather be vaccinated by any of these than not vaccinated and have to wait a couple of months for whichever one I might think might be the better one.
You know more because you listen to Dave Ramsey, 1 till 4 p.m. weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Good morning, 6:38 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. State Representative Alex Andrade is heading over to Tallahassee a little bit later on this morning for the opening of session. Representative, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me on.
Good morning. So you are the education policy whip. What does that mean?
So what that generally means is the policies, the bills coming through in the Florida House related to education are kind of, it's my responsibility to make sure that the House's goals in that arena are being met. So it can mean anything from helping, you know, decide on what bills get heard in committees to helping certain bills pass if they're important to the Florida House. And, you know, making sure that we're in line or getting what we need from the Senate in the same kind of way. So it's just it's mostly just a strategy kind of position. You know, it's been fun, but it's just a lot of work, a lot of helping educate other members on what's going through that silo.
Well, it's as you say, it is a lot of work and a lot of effort to make sure that all this stuff happens. I have two education bills that I specifically wanted to ask you about this morning. There's so much just in the education realm that we really need to talk about. The first one, though, is one that was filed on the Senate side. And I'll be honest, I don't think it has a companion yet in the House. Maybe it does, but you tell me if I'm wrong about this. This is Senator Baxley's bill. Now, Baxley, by my read, is a fairly significant senator. And if he's filing the bill, that means that he's probably got leadership support on it. Again, you tell me if I'm wrong. But this bill really concerns me. The bill would basically say these degrees or these study courses at the higher at the university are approved because they produce jobs. These others are not approved because they do not lead to jobs primarily. The government, the taxpayer, should not be funding non-job-oriented courses of study, and so Bright Futures money would be available only to students who are in job-producing courses of study. In principle, I love this bill. I love it in principle. I hate it for the fact that you've got to lay out for students in advance for a long time what those are and are not. I've got a student right now who's done like 50 Bright Futures hours, and it sounds to me like they're saying, maybe your major will qualify, maybe it won't. Help me out.
So you need to distinguish between technical colleges, state colleges, and universities, right? Mm-hmm. So we have two big, massive federal pots of money that come down every year that the state administers. They're called Perkins and WIOA. Those funds are generally geared towards job placement, right? So training that leads to a job. Those funds normally go to technical colleges and state colleges. If you look at the state university system statement of purpose and mission in chapter 1004 of Florida statutes, the state university system has a different role, right? So they're part of the pursuit of knowledge and good citizenship and research. And the state university system is the place for liberal arts philosophy, for students who are developing and maybe going to grad school or down the line. The question, and what we always have to grapple with at the state level, is with your public dollars, what is the purpose of the public dollar in that system? And so you brought up the Senate bill. It's Senate Bill 86, and the goal of that Senate bill is largely to gather the information about which degrees lead to job placement after attainment of that degree. Because if we're taking your money, it has to have an identifiable benefit to society.
I totally agree.
So you're right, Andrew, in that we can't be penalizing students, but Florida has not done a good job of gathering the data from its state technical colleges, its state colleges, and its universities on what degrees they're offering that have actual benefit. Like right now, we don't have the data to say, you know, for any single, you know, certification or course provided by a technical college, anywhere from like baking to nursing to welding, we don't have the data that says how many students leave after getting that course completed and go into that field for employment.
Yeah.
We don't have the data about how much they're making 1 to 5 years out. Without that data, we don't know if we're doing right by you, the taxpayer. So I think you're going to see a lot more of this type of focus on collecting that information and data going forward.
No, I totally agree with that, too. And again, in principle, I completely support the bill. You know, the public dollars can go to support the general matrix of higher education. Bright Futures does not need to go to that entire scope of work. It can go just a job. That makes sense to me. And I totally agree with you gathering the data. In fact, I've long advocated that I think it's a nutty system that colleges get paid whether you get a job or not. They ought to get a slice of your income for the next 20 years is how they ought to make their money instead of just flooding it with the hope that they're going to produce something beneficial. But, you know, that's a conversation for a different day.
They're going to get a slice of your income no matter what, and that's the unfortunate part is no matter what you're going to leave your state college, state college, university, and you're going to be paying taxes.
Right, exactly. But the particular question I have about this bill is, however it gets marked up over time, it's got to include a provision so that people who are in high school can plan to know that their course of study is in or not in the list. That's the only thing I see as a problem here.
And I understand where you're coming from on it, and I think that's absolutely a consideration. The other bad piece, the other thing that we're doing a poor job of is explaining to students what getting that certification or degree is going to result in.
Absolutely.
Students, if a student doesn't know if they're going to be able to get a job when they go into that course of study, we're letting them fly blind right now. Students and families are flying blind in Florida if their ultimate goal is to have a job in that degree of study after they're done with the program.
Right.
So this is a benefit for families as well.
Yeah, no, and that whole goal of just have a magic piece of paper and it'll all work out in the end, I agree more. And the emphasis on trade schools and alternate paths of study for actual jobs, all of that, totally agree about. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, since you're the education policy whip, we're talking to our representative, Alex Andrade. The other thing is... Oh, you know what? I need to take a break. Davis, I didn't even notice the time. Let me give you a real quick traffic on the fives from Davis Allen. We'll be back with the representative in a second. Go ahead, Davis.
Yeah, and just the front gate of NAS Pensacola is where we're seeing those delays backed up to Palmetto Avenue. So expect extra time there. Back gate a little delayed, and we are starting to see delays as we are traveling northbound along Avalon Boulevard, backed up to almost Tuscarora Trail now. So it's backing up kind of quickly. I'm Davis Allen with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Davis. Now back to representative Andrade. Probably other education issues we'll deal with in subsequent weeks. I know this issue of the missing kids right now is a big issue for you, but since it is the beginning of session, I'd be a little bit remiss if we didn't talk about that. What are the kind of the COVID restrictions? Are you guys going to be able to vote in chamber? How is this going to work?
Yeah. So I'm leaving Pensacola this morning, going directly to go get my COVID test that I have to take at the beginning of every single week before I'm allowed to interact with anybody in the Capitol. And then tomorrow we will go on the House floor. Some of the restrictions on the House side, you know, we're a younger on average body than the Florida Senate, is that, you know, no one can be on the floor before members go on the floor for session. So they're trying to protect the environment. So just members walk on the floor and then leave. And, you know, masks are generally required/recommended. And we just have, it's mostly restrictions on who can come into the building and where they can go. So while the Florida Senate pretty much has everyone barred from entry, you know, your Florida Senate committees right now, the testimony is being done remotely.
Right.
From the Civic Center a few blocks away. The Florida House will allow people in, but it's with, you know, somebody walking with you from Capitol staff, from State House staff, and that's really just you don't have lobbyists or constituents walking the halls right now.
So and there's I assume like there's no gallery town. Or there's nobody in the gallery. Is that all true too?
No, gallery is severely restricted. So tomorrow's the opening day of session, and each member got to invite one person instead of, you know, generally their family members and whatnot. So
yeah.
it's restricted significantly for sure. But it's not completely barred.
And now today is, so tomorrow is the beginning. Is today the last day for fundraising? Is that true?
Yeah. So during session, Florida legislators are not allowed to accept campaign contributions. So today is the last day members can accept campaign money. before they are barred during session. The intent, obviously, is to avoid any kind of undue influence when we're casting our votes and you know, working on the budget.
And can you still file bills after tomorrow, or did the bills already have to all be filed as of today?
So for general bills are barred, you know, between today and after today or tomorrow. But committee bills can still come out, right? So if there's still plenty of policy that's not been released yet, that'll likely come out as committee bills, where a committee chair will assign a member a bill from that committee to run for the rest of session, like a general bill.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Yeah, some of the particulars here are interesting. And that's also true of local bills. They can't initiate again, or are local bills still open?
No, bill filing deadline for everything but a committee bill is essentially barred after today.
Okay. All right. Very good. And just last quick thing is, you know, obviously it's there's a lot that goes on. Everything, for the most part, dies except for a few bills that survive. I mean, that's all. The attrition rate on bills is amazing. But is there anything particularly that, you know, you're working on this session? I know you've got like 25 bills that you've sponsored, which is impressive. But anything particularly you want to notify constituents about this morning that you're working on?
Yeah, there's several, but you know, on the funding side, it's always going to be water quality and infrastructure. And while you know my appropriations bills are important, the budget I keep having it hammer home, the governor's proposed budget is where you want to get your money. You don't want to get your money from appropriations. The other big policy issue, though, is I'm trying to get a study done on this chemical called PFAS. PFAS, if you've seen the Navy's given reports out and notified neighborhoods around Whiting Field and yeah, other local military bases, where, you know, those neighborhoods can no longer drink their well water because they're concerned about contamination from this chemical called PFAS. A lot like we had like lead concerns and petroleum concerns in decades prior, PFAS is used in so many different ways, and we know now that it's harmful. So we need to get an understanding of where this stuff is, and the state needs to take on a larger role in this field. So the first step to get something set up, like a Brownsfield or a petroleum trust fund to help clean up all this dirt in Florida and protect Floridians, is a study. So this year, one of my big focuses that really doesn't get talked about a lot because we have a very limited understanding of what PFAS is the study, so that in the future we can justify a fund to help clean up all of this contaminated soil in Florida.
All right. Well, very good. And I mean, that's Jayer's district primarily. Whiting is not yours, but I assume you guys are working together on this, right?
Oh, well, it's not just Whiting that has the problem.
Oh,
there are
sure,
neighborhoods
sure
in the Sandy County that haven't been allowed to cook with their water or drink their water for months. Because their soil all around some bases is completely contaminated. You know, like I said, PFAS has been around for decades. There's high amounts of it in soil in Florida, and we have to start addressing it soon before, you know, the federal government under a Democrat administration starts cracking down and completely limits our ability to buy and sell property. You know, starts fining our local governments potentially for not cleaning it up and doing enough on the front end.
All right. Well, this is we should have been doing this anyway, but let's do this now for sure so that we can at least have a little bit of control over it. Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2, southern half of Escambia County, plus Gulf Breeze, plus Pensacola Beach. Alex, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Andrew.
You bet. 651, I'm Andrew McKay. For gallon of gas, 272, Florida, 261, so much better here by 11 pennies. Bridgeport, California, 499, Houston, Texas, $1.48. If you're in the VAR this morning, it's 255 at either Walmart, 265, up 87. Oh, I got a slightly better price than that. This never happens. I'll mention it. At the Exxon on Navarre Parkway, just west of 87, has 254 one penny better. In Gulf Breeze proper, 265, Tiger Point, 259, 255 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge, 255 at the Sefco in Milton, 255 at the Pea Ridge Walmart, 258 before you get on the causeway at the last station of the raceway. Into Pensacola, 257 at the Walmart on the south side of 9 Mile, 254 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29, and coming in from the southwest side, 255 at the Murphy on Navy, 259 at the Navy Exchange. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
President Biden has a virtual summit on his schedule today.
President Biden meets with Mexican President Andres Manuel López Obrador. Border security is sure to top their agenda one day after former President Trump slammed Biden's immigration policy at the conservative CPAC conference.
That's NBC's Tracy Potts. New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says sexual harassment allegations against Governor Andrew Cuomo need an independent investigation, joining other Democrats calling for the probe after two former aides came forward with complaints.
You mean not by a judge that he picks? Sorry.
Case solved. Lady Gaga's two missing French bulldogs are home safe.
Good.
A woman turned them in unharmed at an LAPD substation on Friday night. Police haven't revealed any details on where the dogs were found or that woman's name, they say, because of the active criminal investigation as well as her safety. Now, the dog walker is still in the hospital, but his condition apparently has improved.
It's a crazy story.
It's just
it really
nuts.
Is. All right, Mark, thanks for the update. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, after a weekend of hockey for the Pensacola Ice Flyers, wasn't exactly a solid one for them. They did drop Saturday's matchup against Knoxville 4-1, and back on Friday, they also dropped that matchup shutout even. That was a 2-0 matchup over there against the Knoxville Ice Bears. In golf news, Colin Morikawa, he is a winner at the concession, winning the WGC Workday Championship, shot a 18 under par, while Brooks Koepka finished runner-up. He shot 15 under par. And many players out there paying tribute to Tiger Woods. This is the first tournament played since he had suffered that crazy accident. Even sent out a social media message saying he was very touched by the demonstration showed out there on the course. And with that, let's go ahead and roll this into your...
Whoa. Biggest news of the day.
Of the day or of the weekend?
Yesterday. First games of spring training.
Oh, that's right. Yep. I should not leave out spring
training. The games that do not matter nevertheless began.
And you know, they matter if you're a baseball fan. And yes, I went as far as to watching Yankees baseball.
Wow.
And that's not
desperate
easy for
times.
Me. But I needed some baseball in my life. And it reminds me, May 11th, the Blue Wahoos are back in town. And let's take this into traffic on the fives, where we do have delays going northbound on Avalon Boulevard. It appears to be backed up almost to Mary Kitchens Road. So just be ready to expect those delays. And then also, if you're leaving Gulf Breeze and trying to get onto Garcon, it's a little slow moving trying to get onto the bridge, but does clear up as you're going about midway through. And still seeing those delays at the front gate of Aeneas Pensacola, backed up to Winthrop Avenue. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
.658 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Future News, Davis Allen and I, Andrew McKay, tell you what's going to happen before it happens. When will we have Johnson & Johnson single-dose vaccines here in Escambia County?
I'm going to say tomorrow.
We'll see next week. I want to be more optimistic than that, but I just have this feeling like it's not going to come to us immediately. Trump 2024?
No.
I also think no. DeSantis 2024?
Yes.
Yes. Most definitely yes. Trump DeSantis 2024?
No.
No, because you'd run the risk of splitting the vote and having a split ticket because they can't vote for both people from the same state. Will we have the Bright Futures bill? Will that be in place so that only some courses of study get funded by Bright Futures?
No.
I actually like this bill as long as the tweaks get made. I think yes.